Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bears of Business podcast. So before we get too into it, Colin, this is still the Binge and Bass podcast. This is a crossover. We've started a Bears of Business podcast that talks about business, my friend David Jabor and I. We're also recording a Binge and Bass episode right now, so check it out. If you're not checking out the other platform and you're listening to one or the other, we'll just put all the information in the description.
There we go. Basically,
Colin, you're here, and we're going to talk business today.
Oh, man, Benji, that's one of my favorite topics we could ever talk about in the entire world, and I cannot be more excited to be here with you. It's been way too long.
I know, man. I know you couldn't be more excited because you just had to lower your levels a little bit.
I did.
How many years have we been doing this, and how many years have I been too quiet and you've been too loud?
Season five.
Crazy. We've been doing these podcasts for a long time. So Binge and Bass podcast, our main podcast, you might be listening on that platform right now. Colin and I have been best of friends since the first day of college. We've been documenting our journey together, the serious parts of it, the not serious parts of it, the fun parts, the not fun parts of it. And we've been covering it for the past 4 years, really. And so now I've started this new business podcast, and we want to talk to Colin about his background and sort of his why business. So a lot of listeners of the show have heard Colin's why Baylor, if you remember embracing the rainy days. But Colin, catch us up. How did you know you wanted to be a business student at Baylor University?
Man, what a good question. I think there's two parts to that question. How do I want to do business, and then why at Baylor University?
Oh.
And I love that. I love that. I like Bench said, some of you might have heard the story before. But I think to answer both of those questions, I think the one thing it can all boil back down to is exposure. You want to get out. You want to see it in the flesh. You want to see what business is really like, and getting some exposure to that has been really helpful to me. I grew up watching my dad do business, and so that was very helpful to have it in the home. But what has helped me the most was coming to visit Baylor and see the business school in action, and also see just the campus in action. Baylor is such a special place, and I was thinking more recently how special it's become and how limited my view was coming in as a freshman. I wanted it to be so many great things. I thought, I'll come out with a degree, and I'll meet some cool people, and I'll have fun. That was kind of as specific as I got with my prayers and my vision. And to look back and to see all of those things answered in so many crazy ways has been more than a blessing and more than I could ever ask for. And I'm trying to do the same thing as I look ahead to the future, because the questions never stop of what's next. But coming back to answer your question about why business and why Baylor, seriously, it's exposure. I came in to visit the business school over a cold, rainy Christmas break, and that visit, while there was no students, there was something special about this campus that pulled me back. And then I came back to visit for an official visit called Know Where You're Going Day, one of those special visit days for not yet accepted students who haven't yet accepted it back. And I came in, sat in a couple classes, even got to begin with what I thought would be my major, and added that, came in and sat in the 7:15 a.m. Pro Sales 2 class, and having that exposure from before I was even out of high school really helped a lot to provide clarity on where I needed to go and what I wanted to do, and gave me a little bit of insight to what the future might hold. So, man, exposure, I think, is the most important thing, Benj.
Exposure is everything. And looking back 4 years later from when you were sitting in that 7:15 a.m. class, you got some new bling on your finger.
You got your
Baylor class graduating ring, and you've done all this while being on the professional selling track. And this is something that I'm part of, too. We've talked about on our show before a little bit about what we do. But you mentioned that was something, you mentioned the exposure. You got that in high school. But what have been some of your biggest takeaways from doing that program? And, you know, we've had conversations, so I feel weird asking you on the show about, you know, what your longer aspirations are with that field of study. But what have been some of your main takeaways from it, and, you know, why'd you stick with it? Because it's hard.
Yeah, man. So many big takeaways. I think, you mentioned the ring. It's kind of all coming together. Yesterday, I got my Baylor ring. It was they do this little presentation thing, but the lady handed me the ring, and she just said, "Congratulations, you made it." And like my heart like dropped. I was like, "Holy crap, it's already over." I just want to cry. Oh my gosh,
you're so dramatic, Colin.
I have been dramatic recently in a variety of ways, but coming back to some of my takeaways, I remember coming in, sitting in that class as a freshman or as a senior in high school, looking to be a freshman, and thinking like, holy crap, these are real students, and they are on their way off to do something great, and that's what I want to become, but it's so far away.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through the whole program, and it still feels so far away. And I think when you look up to people, it's important to realize that they are just people as well. Those seniors I looked up to were just as nervous about what's to come as I was as a freshman, as I still am. But it's also just as exciting because you're being equipped and you're being kind of pushed along and pulled along and inspired to go do something great. And pro sales, the biggest takeaway I think I've had is being immersed into a culture of people who are driven to the next level and want to take their life seriously, but also want to make a lot of money to make a huge impact. Because what we also are taught, our slogan within pro sales is that we are missionaries skillfully disguised as salespeople, and we're going to go out, we're going to go impact people every single day. But if it's just to make a big paycheck, you're no different than the next guy.
Mm.
And that's been one of my biggest takeaways, because we're going to be sent out whether we want to or not here in about 6 months, and it's going to be one heck of a ride. But there you're surrounded by a huge group of people behind you, but also thousands ahead of you as well.
Wow. Wow. And so as you go about the next steps, I know we're still working it out.
Sure.
You have a wealth of experience, but what do you think? You mentioned that point of being a good steward of what you earn, but also maybe some things you learned in the classroom or maybe through pro sales or the business school in general. What do you think are some pretty practical things that you're going to hold on to that will propel you to succeed in a full-time role that you learn from here?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, man, one of the biggest things that I've learned throughout pro sales is never underestimating a connection.
Mm-hmm.
Just this kid that's sitting across from me interviewing me right now is just some random guy I met in Mimo Dining Hall, and now we've been roommates for 3 years, and now we're wrapping
right.
up some podcasts and wrapping up our senior year together, and might even pull out living together in Dallas again. Who knows?
Yeah, but keep me updated
just,
on that.
But you never underestimate a connection. I think that's the first takeaway. Every person you meet in any of the classes, always look to your left, to your right, in front of you and behind you. All the people around you want to make connections as well. And usually it's up to you to make the first connection.
Mm-hmm.
The second, and you never know who those connections will be. The second would be not only making those connections, but loving those people well, not being afraid to go out of your comfort zone. When somebody crosses your path, or the Lord ordains a little crossover in the middle of Fountain Mall of just you and one other individual, that's not an accident. Check in on that person, be able to like be a solid connection and love those people well. And then one final thing I've been learning recently is the pride of ownership. Everything you do in your classes and everything you do throughout your life, don't just do it and complete it, but do it pridefully and like in a good way. Like can finish it and be proud of it. And like don't just go through your classes and hope to get by, but go through them and to excel and to learn the things to push you to that next level. And I think those are some key takeaways. Make good connections, pour into those connections, and then be proud of what you're doing and don't just do it to get it done.
I promise if you're listening to this or this is your first time to hear Colin, he doesn't like have a script. I didn't ask him any of this ahead. That was really good. I wish I had a paper in front of me, not because I need a script, but I wish I could have taken like notes. Like I just asked for a practical thing and he just gave me three great things that are going to help you that you specifically learn from here, which is awesome. Since you're so good on your feet, so articulate, this is something I asked David in our last episode. And I'd love to get your perspective, especially as someone who is a big selling guy like yourself.
If you
go home, now home is a little different for you now. It's Ohio instead of Cypress, Texas, Houston, Texas, same difference. You go home over the holidays or you see someone at a wedding or you're trying to explain to your grandparents or maybe even parents like why you're a business student at Baylor and why you love it, because I know you do. Like, how would you describe your experience with Baylor Business to someone on the outside? What would you highlight? How would you explain it? What are some of the main takeaways?
Yeah, I think it's the perfect intersection of three different things: faith, life, and business. And it sounds like something that this business school is going to script you to say, but seriously, it is. I've never been in a place. I mean, I went to private school for kindergarten, first grade, so it's been a while. But I've never been in a place where they want to push you towards the future so much and give you the realistic expectations what the future is going to hold and preparing you for those, but then also integrating faith just enough. Some classes more than others, others pretty, like a lot less. But the professors that I've had, there's been a handful that have not been shy to implement the faith either when asked about it or in their lesson plans without having to ask. On the first day of school, this year and last year, more than half my professors shared their faith and like shared some sort of Bible verse that they're going to lead the semester by. And I think that's super special because Baylor says it's Christian, but it truly is, at least in the business school. From my perspective, the last couple of years, people want to live it out, and they're always willing. They drop a little nugget here, a nugget there. And if you want to ask more, you can always go to office hours and ask more. We're in another class together that the professor talks about faith every single day. And in those little moments, it creates like such a special bond. In that class we're talking about, we're in the best class, which is like a strategic management capstone class together. And we had a guest speaker, a board of women, who are wives of some big business leaders in the area. And we were just talking to these women, and one of them shared, her name was Jess, this idea of like combining the mind, body, and soul all into one package and not looking at them all from these different pillars of life, but like they're all actually one holding up the same foundation. And I think Baylor does that in a very cool way with business, life, and faith. Like they combine it all into one where they're not separate. You see it all as one, and you live it all out as one. And through that, you're in the business world. We understand that like you can't go out and just share your faith with every single person. But I think you're equipped in a way to go out and to encounter people and to love them well and to live your life different enough to where if somebody asks you about it, you have the permission to share what it is that makes you different. So that would be the main thing that I think Baylor has kind of like, that's been special to me that I would share with my family back at home. And just how special it is. Cause not even a lot of Christian schools can't say that they do that well, at least. And other special things about Baylor are the community. Baylor has the Baylor bubble. It's just if you want to find it, you'll find it. But just a collection of Christians from all different facets of the Christian world. And it's like a honey hole for the faith in a good way, where you're formed a lot, but you're going to be sent out to go encounter, almost like this little check stop here in the middle of like, we're going to be fueled up. We're going to be sent out.
Yeah. Peer pressure to do the right thing.
That's why.
And that's a good thing. Yeah. Let me completely shift gears here. I love that, by the way. Do you have any regrets? Anything you'd do differently?
Oh man, you're not going to like this. And maybe the students will like this. If you're a parent listening to this, I apologize in advance. Benj's face is like, oh no.
This is good. I really wish I had those notes.
My biggest regret is, this sounds so dumb, but it really is. My biggest regret was staying home the night of the Big 12 championship and staying back to do homework. And I think that, that can be translated in a variety of ways of life, because a lot of the time we stay back and we have a whole lot going on and we get super stressed out and we're like, no, I have to skip this because this needs to get done right now. But looking back, that is my biggest regret, because that was the best game of our entire college experience. We won on a buzzer beater hold against OSU, and that was just crazy. And I skipped it through accounting homework, homework that I either should have done before, I had all semester to do it, or I could have probably done later. And it was really frustrating knowing what happened and then hearing the excitement the following like whole semester after campus. And then I'm reminded of that regret every single home football game when they play the clip at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
And how cool that is, or at the beginning of the game, and how cool that moment was. But I skipped it to do work. And the thing is about college is that you have a whole lot of time to balance work and life, and you're figuring it all out. And that was one where I regret, like, hey, this is a big moment, one that I took for granted. I thought, oh, we'll be good at football for a long time. We're not. We've never been back to the Big 12 championship, and we're never going to win it again in our time, at least. We're not even going to a bowl game this year. And like the reality of that, like, sure, this class was important, but it could have gotten done. And so prioritizing those big memories and those things that like are huge events, and not underestimating how fun they might be, because the coursework will get done and one test, one homework assignment isn't going to change your life. But those little moments go into impact and encounter the world in a new way, in a way you never have, could change your life. So
that
sounds like a dumb regret, but I think that can be extrapolated to a variety of ways throughout anything you do in college.
It's specific. It's a great story. I think if you asked a lot of people that, you'd get people like me. I wouldn't change a single thing. You'd have people say like, oh, I could have made more time for people. Like, that's great. That's a specific example, and I love it. And that's, you know me, that's always what I'm after, is the specifics, the practicality.
Come on.
Let me give you one more before we wrap up. time management, right? That seems to be one of your big bullet point takeaways from that story. Let's talk about that. You, anyone who knows you knows you're the guy who's a wizard at Canva. You're at the front line of this generative AI thing. You're taking great notes on your iPad. You do like this calligraphy, but the male version, and it's like really interesting.
The male version.
How do you do it though? You manage a really color-coded Outlook calendar. You know, what'd you experiment with? What worked? What didn't? What do you do now?
Yeah, really good question. It's never perfect and it still isn't perfect, but I think the first thing is to acknowledge that it's never going to be perfect, but then acknowledging where you want to go and who do you want to be. We had a guest speaker in one of our classes this year that talked a lot about like defining your ideal. And I thought that really hit me because I've always kind of done that, but I've never heard it kind of said like that. But outlining who you want to become and how you want to get there, not only outlining your priorities, what should be important, but like outlining specifically in those priorities, like faith, friends, family, whatever your order is, and then school, work, whatever else, outlining that. But then under each, like defining like what could shift, what could be ahead, what could be behind, and outlining like if a big test that could come before friends, even though friends might be ahead of school. And so putting some thought to that and like outlining what your expectation for yourself is and then defining that. And you can't define every single moment in life, but having a rough idea of what might be more important. And I think this kind of comes back to a story that I had looking at pro sales. I got invited to do an external competition in the spring of my sophomore year, but I wanted to do sing. I wanted to dance on stage, go crazy with the boys. And so I told the professor, like, I'm really in between these two. I'm super stressed. I don't know what to do. I don't want to let you down. And he just shared with me. He goes, I'd love for you to be on the team, but you got to look at it like this. You're going to be at the dinner table one time, you're going to get a call from your boss. You're going to be at the dinner table with your family, sitting down. This will probably be in 10, 15 years, and you're going to get a call from your boss. At that moment, what's more important? Is it your boss that's calling or the people in the family that you've created right in front of you? Both of those are equally as important. Can you tell your boss to wait or can you tell your family to wait? And both of those are ultimately good. And maybe there's not a wrong choice, but defining that for yourself, because if you always choose your boss, your family will be left behind. But if you always choose your family, then you can't just leave work behind. And so having a balance there, he kind of gave me that. And he was like, you can't make a wrong decision. You just decide what's best. Ultimately, I decided to do sing instead of the sales competition, and it all turned out fine. Ended up getting to do another competition eventually. But it was little moments like that where you have to make a choice, mm-hmm. and not letting it stress you out, and moving myself in the right direction to say, hey, and then when the next time management question comes up, I have now the power to choose this or choose that. So honestly, it would be defining your priorities, and then also like looking at people around you who are doing it well, and maybe people who are doing it wrong, and just asking them how they do it that you want to learn. I learned a lot of like, I used to use Google Calendar. Now I use the Outlook calendar that's connected to Baylor.
Thank God
and
you switched.
You get to send little calendar invites and have it all there. And so having a schedule that's predictable and then putting in the big rocks is also important. That's a whole nother conversation. But just putting in the things in your calendar that matter the most, and then also giving yourself the permission to say, hey, things can move around, but this is what's my priority. And if it needs to change, it'll change.
Wow. Wow. That's great, Colin. I remember the days we used to send ourselves Google Calendar invites stuff like this. You got to go Outlook. You got to go Outlook. If you take nothing away from this business show, I hope people know, please use Outlook instead of Google. But I really did like your points there too, especially about the big rocks. Like, this is going to be in the calendar. This can't be moved. And maybe that's like where you do your color coding thing too. Like, this little coffee chat, that can be moved. But I need to see my grandpa today. Like, nothing is moving that. So like, what are your big rocks? What are your non-negotiables? What's your ideal self? That's how you said it. Well, close with this. What would be some advice? You know, Colin Bass is 18 years old, maybe 19. Your birthday's in August. I don't really know exactly how the math works, but you're sitting in that 7:15 a.m. class 4 years ago. You have some doubts in your head. You're excited, but you're like, this could be me one day, but I don't know if that'll actually happen. 4 years later, I think you can confidently look back and say that you became the person you wanted to be. But, you know, 4 years back when you were thinking that, you might have had some doubts. Like, what would you go back and tell yourself now sitting in that seat? Like, it's going to work out. Is it something specific? What do you say to your old self looking at where you are now?
Just go. That's it. I think that it is. I think I knew at the moment that this it could turn into something great, but I didn't totally trust that. There's always a what if or a I can't or whatever the excuse you tell yourself is, and that goes for anything in life. But I think just get up and go. There is so much good, especially if whether Baylor is your school or not, or whatever the life decision you're choosing to do next. There's not a whole lot you can be told that's going to help you in that moment. I remember looking back, I didn't want my parents to say anything. I didn't need a friend to say anything. I just needed to take the step. And it's realistic, and I'm talking to myself currently because I'm thinking about the future. I think the same thing needs to happen. So you can only have so many conversations and so many prayers and whatever else before the Lord kind of lays everything out in front of you, and it's just up to you to take the step. Mm. And so at that point, I think it was pretty clear of what needed to happen. And even though there's some anxiety, you still just need to be a little shove. So if I were to go back, I probably would have just like kicked him from behind and said, just come on, let's go. You got this. Go just, change the world.
Just like your old college buddy Benj at the cliff jumping on your 20th birthday or whatever birthday that was. And you maybe just do it. Like that's life. That's life.
Sometimes you just need a little nudge and that's it. You got it all in front of you.
Yeah.
The cliff's not going anywhere.
Faith, business, and life, right?
That's it.
That's what we do.
Come on.
That's what we talked about today. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mr. Colin Bass. It's a pleasure hearing from him. Check out all of our stuff at Binge and Bass, Binge and Bass Podcast on Spotify. Check out the Bears of Business Podcast at Bears of Business, Bears of Business Podcast on Spotify. As always, I'm Binge. Appreciate each of you. Have a wonderful day.